at the start of a big book a few years ago, you wrote, "So yes, the question was alive. Would greed and the hegemony of the mediocre, the media, triumph over democracy?" And I wonder, I'd put it in a sort of Norman Mailer question, what had happened to American politics?
Well, I have the favorite horse I have that I beat to death whenever I can, politically speaking.
Go ahead.
The corporation. I think the corporation's ruined America. I really do. I was having a conversation, an interview with my son a couple of weeks ago, and in it we started talking about the corporation, and at a certain point I said, I think it's going to take 50... The war is with the corporation. I think there are two wars. That people, when I say people on the left, I don't mean radicals, I mean people... It can be people on the right, any number of conservatives, I think, would agree with a lot of this as well, that something's being fundamentally lost in American life. The sweetness, the flavor, the sap of American life is gone. We're turning into a loutish country, which is interested only in power. And I think there are two elements that are really responsible for it. One of them is the corporation, and the other is organized religion. Because organized religion, by its very nature, makes people more stupid than they need to be. In other words, they surrender, they pay a tithe, a true tithe, for joining any organized church, which is they say, I will surrender my brains at the church door. And I feel very strongly, I happen to believe in a creator. I believe in God. I'm not an atheist. I believe that what's done in God's name in the churches is the work of the devil.
Do you believe in worshiping God?
I believe in having quiet conversations with God, with no particular demand on your side that you're going to be heard. In other words, I think we're here to contemplate the nature of God. God's a creator. We were all created by God. I think God has a vision. This is my personal notion. God is, we are God's, how to put it, we're God's project. We're God's greatest development. God has worked his or her way through evolution, making all sorts of mistakes en route. I don't see God as all-powerful. I see God as a great creative artist, the divine artist, doing the best, and in competition with other notions of existence out in the stars. I don't see God as the commander of 100,000, of 100 million, 100 billion stars and light years and all that. No, on the contrary. The solar system, perhaps, is God's domain. And we as humans are God's best creation. Had to go through the dinosaurs, had to go through all sorts of errors, got trapped with myriad varieties of insects at one point. Evolution is a series of steps upward from God's initial conception of existence. And if we're God's children, the point I would make is God listens to us. God learns from us, just as parents learn from their children. Whenever a parent has complete control of a child, that's an unhappy child. Organized religion insists that God have absolute dominance over us. All wrong, I think.
From the sublime back to the Republican Convention, what about the triumph of the mediocre, you wrote, the media, over democracy? What's happened to the media in the broadest sense of what's happened to the country's knowledge of itself?
Well, the country's become embattled in a way. It goes right back to the Cold War. I always felt that the insistence that communism was our mortal enemy and had to be defeated was a profound error, because it put us into battle stance for what was it, 3, 4, 5 decades, I can't even count anymore, from let's say from, well, roughly from 1945 to 1990. And in that time, America changed from the kind of country I remember when I was an adolescent and a soldier, where there was a sort of individuality to Americans. You know, if you got on a train and as we did as soldiers and traveled across the country, every state was different. Every town had a flavor. You went to one town, it wasn't the same as the next town. Now, it's all homogenized. And what it was is that I think it was a sense after the Second World War, the communism had to be defeated. I think the reason they felt that was that capitalism felt tremendously unsure of itself after the Depression and the knowledge that they had resurrected capitalism through the war economy, and that maybe capitalism couldn't stand on its own. There was a lot of fear of that way back in the early 50s. And so they felt they had to organize the country into a war mentality. But, I mean, the Soviets were wrecked after the war. They weren't about to... look, I hold no brief for Stalin. He was a monster. But they were not about to try to conquer us quickly. They wanted to deal with us. They wanted a chance to catch their breath. They'd lost 20 million people in the war. Their housing was a shambles. They were semi-destroyed economically. They were not a threat back in 1948. But nonetheless, the country decided we had to go to war, and the Cold War is the beginning of the end of American life in terms of its flavor. You know, the notion developed that we had to be in command all the time. We had to dominate. And this need to dominate is not what a democracy should be all about. A democracy is interested in the freedom of its citizens, the freedom of its citizens to develop, to learn, to become more than their parents. And now it's a matter of succeed. It's not a matter of learn, develop, grow. It's succeed. Succeed at all costs.
It strikes me that we don't know ourselves as well as we used to, and we don't see our place in the world very clearly, even as other imperial nations have. But it takes me back actually to something you wrote in a very interesting letter to Fidel Castro, mm-hmm. early in the Kennedy administration, and you said, a little tentatively, you said, many of us have hope that Kennedy will help our national mind to see again. Mm-hmm. But of course, you said, one does not know. But the idea of our national mind seeing and a president being a kind of watchman seems so quaint and almost inconceivable now.
Isn't it? Absolutely.
Where is the national mind, and how in the world might a president get his head into it?
Well, you know, let's go back to Castro. The thing that was most impressive about Castro in those early years, before he had to make a deal with the Soviets and they took over Cuba, and in a certain sense wrecked Castro's notions of what Cuba could be, is in the early years, the first couple of years, despite the, it isn't that Castro was an angel, there were some very brutal shootings and killings at the beginning of the revolution. But at the same time, what Castro would do is he would talk for 3 or 4 hours to huge crowds of very poor people, peasants. And he would not only talk for 4 hours, which no American politician could do that, but he would talk about mistakes he had made. I have to apologize to you, my friends. I really have to apologize, because it did not work. And that's how he would talk. And the people loved him. They truly loved him at that point. Much more, perhaps, than they love him now. And there was something going on that was really... the idea was that it isn't that you talk down to people because they are of low intelligence. It's that you talk at a level high enough so that they will take their intelligence to reach up to yours. And no American politician does that now. No American politician goes out and speaks to the public and says, this is what I believe. I could be right, I could be wrong. This is what I think. I'm going to let you know how it works. I'm going to say to you where I think we succeed and where I think we fail. It's all laundered now. It's pre-programmed. It's controlled. It's all done now for television. It's not done for people's ears and minds.
So what happened to American politics? I'm tempted to say that Norman Mailer's worst nightmare came to pass, and you wrote it all, oddly enough, in 1960 in a very memorable piece on John F. Kennedy at the convention in Los Angeles. But you sensed fear there. You sensed depression, huge uncertainty, and you sensed corruption, a danger of totalitarianism. You feared the triumph of mass man, as you called it, mm-hmm. bullying, bullshit, the whole thing. And here we are. Is that what happened?
Well, I would much rather have been wrong than part right. That's been my fear all the way. I've been wrong on certain things. I was very worried about totalitarianism coming to America 30, 40 years ago. I've never stopped worrying about it. I've always felt that democracy is a delicate creation, finally. It depends upon renewal all the time. It depends upon each generation has to develop, you might say, or does well to develop a new notion of what democracy can do and what it can't do. But it's perishable. It's a grace. It's spiritually speaking, I think democracy is a grace. I think most people in most countries, given most economies and most poverty, are better suited for various forms of fascism, or at least dictators or overlord rule. For democracy to work, there have to be all sorts of battles have to be fought. Traditions have to be created. One of the reasons why Iraq was such a nightmare, such a monstrosity, was the whole notion that we're going to go into this country with its prodigiously intense and divided religious peoples and inject them with democracy was mania. But in fact, they knew it wasn't going to work. Part of them knew it wasn't going to work. What they needed was a war. And I really believe that. They absolutely, it was wag the dog. They had to have a war, because nothing was going to work if they didn't have the war. The country was sliding into economic troubles. Morale in the country was low. The Catholic Church had had its disasters with the pederasty. The corporations, it was one corporate scandal after another, week after week after week. The FBI was suffering examinations because one of their leading people, Hansen, had turned out to be a Soviet spy for all those years. Everything was wrong all over. Things were bad. They needed a war. They really did. And they got their war. And it turned out to be much worse than they thought it would be.
Not over yet.
No, and it may never be over. Who knows? That may go on for 50 years. It's lingering, you know, like a fire you can't quite put out.